Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our main man, John Clayton, is joining us right now. He does so every Friday at 4 o'clock. John, we got a really cool thing going today.
What's that?
We're going to do an Antonio Brown draft next hour. On Antonio Brown landing spots for 2019, the Antonio Brown Derby. Mm-hmm. If you had the first pick in that draft, which team would you select?
Antonio's not going to like it, but I'm going to take the Oakland Raiders.
Tell me why.
Well, here's the reason. It's like, okay, so now if you're going to try to, again, he's still one of the best receivers in the league. All right, so now you know this is a weak draft, reasonably weak draft for wide receivers. It's also not a real good offensive draft. All right, so now they've got three first-round picks. Now you figure the team that's going to be one of the most aggressive is going to be San Francisco, but they can't put the second pick in the draft on Antonio Brown because they need the pass rusher, so there's no way they can do that. So they have to start with the second-round pick, which I'm sure that they will. That's the sixth pick in the second round. So now anybody that can top that with is going to be obviously something else added from the second round. But you look at the Raiders, they have the luxury because they have the first pick, which they'll use on defense, and then they have 24 and 27. So they can easily offer 27, and that's going to probably top what a lot of teams may offer because we'll see if Denver's going to offer a first-round pick, but they can't do it at 10 because they've got to get a quarterback in the draft. And then you start to look at the other teams. I mean, will they give up a first-round pick or not? But, if you're John Gruden, who is a fan of Antonio, I know in the broadcast last year he kept on saying things. He likes his work ethic, all those different things, and likes his talent. You now may, in your mind, feel that you're getting an upgrade from what they had with Amari Cooper. So I think right now my first pick, because they have three first-rounders, they can offer 27 and then have the flexibility, if necessary, to offer 24 instead of 27.
John, when you said Antonio Brown's not going to like it, I thought you were going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so did I.
What percentage chance do you put on it that he actually somehow ends up back in black and gold next year?
None. I give it zero chance. I just think that the ship has sailed. It's time to move on. And, you can see that, change is happening with this team. And again, having seen it with the Seattle Seahawks this year, at some point, guys have been there 7 or 8 years. It's time to move on. And even though you can see that, it's going to hurt the offense, it's going to hurt the offense to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, you get a receiver or something. Because again, if you're now Pittsburgh and you've got your pick and then 27, I mean, you can pick up a defensive player and a drafted wide receiver, and at least you're replenishing your talent. You still have two good receivers because, you have Juju and you also have Washington. And so now you add that third one. I mean, you feel pretty good now because you got some things in the long term.
John, I want to go back to just you saying that John Gruden is a fan of Antonio Brown's. If you had to guess or just based on conversations you've had with maybe people around the league, what do you think weighs heavier for people that would be in a position, GMs, even coaches, in terms of teams that might pick up Antonio Brown, his talent, his production, or the distractions, the headache that comes with him if he's on your roster?
Well, I mean, that's you always have to weigh it, but I think what you're weighing is the fact that he's talented and he's going to make you good. And of course, I mean, say what you want, John Gruden's not necessarily the biggest guy on taking young players. I know he got younger as the season went on, but you notice that he started the season with a roster of 27.4 years old, oldest in football. And then, of course, guys started breaking down naturally when you do that. So, you get him at 30, 31, and he picked up Jordy Nelson at 32. So I don't think he wants to get something better for the offense. By the way, when I say that it's not probably good for Antonio Brown, can you imagine, first you don't even know where you're playing. You may be playing in a baseball park or being a second person at the Levi Stadium, and it's a team right now that's not very good. And so you go from a team that's annually competing to make the playoffs to a team that may not. I mean, you're watching playoff games for 2 or 3 years by television.
John, I got one more Antonio Brown question, and this is about the conflicting reports in terms of his trade value. Jason Lockenfora said there's going to be a bonanza. Ian Rappaport said that he thinks a first-round pick might be a little rich. And when I think of other wide receivers that came with baggage who got traded in their late 20s or early 30s, I think of Randy Moss to the Patriots for a fourth-round pick. I think of a trade that got vetoed because of Drew Rosenhaus and the NFLPA, and that was T.O. to the Ravens for a second-round pick. So those guys who are Hall of Famers didn't fetch a first-round pick. Why will A.B.?
Well, that's and very well might be that the only team offering the first-round pick could be the Oakland Raiders. And so, and again, that's assuming that they would be able to do that. But again, you know, John Gruden's trying to save face a little bit. And, you know, although it was funny, one of the things I had to do for a mock draft and see if I'm right, I put in Derrick Brown from Oklahoma. I didn't realize that was his cousin.
Marquise Brown.
And so, yeah, or Marquise Brown. Yeah, it's like his. So I kind of figured that, you know, you'd have to make the switch if they take one of the receivers. It's probably not going to be the cousin. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to make a little bit of a change on that one. So I went with a wide receiver with their in a mock draft. But again, it's like I didn't even realize that was his cousin at Oklahoma.
We're talking to John Clayton, ClaytonFootball.com, Hall of Fame football writer, Brad Exone, kind enough to join us every Friday. When you look at the way the Steelers kind of collapsed this year, John, 9-6-1, they had a 2.5-game lead in the division late and let Baltimore pass them by. Are you surprised there wasn't more change? You had the outside linebackers coach fired and the running backs coach fired, and that was really it. So are you surprised that they didn't shake things up a little bit more?
Well, I mean, of course, what you're not mentioning is the loss of Mike Munchak,
yeah,
which I think is huge.
So do I.
Because honestly, like for example, today we in the Pro Football Writers put out our some of our honors and stuff like that, and of course, the Assistant Coach of the Year was Vic Fangio in Chicago, and you know, I voted for Mike Solari, but I can tell you right now, one of the leading candidates for the Assistant Coach of the Year next year is going to be Mike Munchak with the Denver Broncos. Because again, if you can get an offensive line coach, and you saw the value of what he brought, I mean, he's worthy, you know, every year of being assistant coach of the year. And so, you know, you throw in that to me, you know, again, we still don't know what more changes are going to happen. I mean, you know, now there's no Le'Veon Bell. You know, there'll be Antonio Brown traded. I mean, you know, you want your coach to have the coaching staff that he wants. And so, you know, that's three changes on the staff, and you know, I don't think there deserves to be any more. You know, I guess there's going to be a debate about the defensive coordinator. And, of course, you know, it doesn't seem like it this late that Keith Butler's going to get fired.
No, he's
but
not.
No, I don't necessarily – it doesn't – you know, so I think that, you know, again, I think we'll see changes on the roster. But, no, I think you're going to probably see more changes in the normal. Because, you know, what's a normal year for the Steelers? 9 to 12 new players, okay? So I think you're going to see many more new players on the team. It could go to, you know, 15 to 16, and I think that, you know, there's going to be change.
John, one of the things Art Rooney said today on our station was that he essentially said that fans care about wins here, and he cited the Steelers' 13-win season as sort of evidence that they don't have drama. Fans care about wins. Winning's what matters. Do you think he's misjudging how fans in this city that you have obviously plenty of roots in and familiarity with the fan base, what people here care about? Because as somebody that's 33 years old, it's been championships or bust virtually my entire adult life with this franchise. Is that how you read the Steeler expectation from fans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, again, you're not – this isn't the New England Patriots, and it's not the Steelers in the 1970s. I mean, again, you know, that's where the dynasty – I mean, of course, that's where Pittsburgh enjoyed the dynasty. But, again, it's so rare right now for that to happen pretty much in most sports. I mean, it's happening in basketball. It's happening in football with the New England Patriots. But I think that, you know, making the playoffs and getting a playoff win or two, or basically just getting to the championship game. Because the one thing that I think everything is so skewed by – because, you know, I keep on hearing all these different theories on things. And it's, you know, because of New England, a lot of things just don't come out to be right. So, for example, one of the criticisms, oh, yeah, you can't pay a quarterback. You know, if you pay a quarterback, then you have no chance of getting to the Super Bowl. Well, if you have 5 Super Bowls wins by the Patriots, and, of course, you only have 4 quarterbacks since 2001 in the AFC that have won Super Bowls. And again, AFC is not going to win every Super Bowl. I mean, you can see that they change the equation of things, mm-hmm, because they've been to so many Super Bowls, they've done so many things, and they've been so dominant. And so now I think that, you know, because, again, the way I kind of judge most years is that, okay, can Pittsburgh get the home game against the Patriots in a championship game? Now, it had that the last year's disaster against the Jaguars, that hurt. And then, of course, you can see that this year Patriots are going to go on the road, and I think they're probably going to lose to the Chiefs because they're on the road. So every year is kind of judged, can you get that home game? And then if you don't get that home game or a championship game, then you kind of concede, well, it's a good year, but we'll just have to try to get it next year.
John, a couple of very quick off-the-beaten-path questions for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Can Aaron Donald surpass Joe Green as the greatest defensive tackle of all time?
He could. Yeah, I mean, because he's that good. I mean, he is absolutely one of the most dominating players I've ever seen. I mean, J.J. Watt was so good for so many years and still is good. But, I mean, you look at the fact that, you know, you just cannot block him. I mean, you know, the fact that he can get, you know, 20 and a half sacks. And who knows? I mean, the next year he can do even better. I mean, think about the fact he held out and he had that
right.
many sacks. Yeah, I mean,
2 years in a row.
He has the possibility of being one of the greatest ever.
Would Earl Thomas be a good fit in Pittsburgh?
No. I think that he's a great player, but I think that, you know, because you know, he's one that is not great in the locker room in a sense. He's pretty much to himself. He's great on the field, but the problem is, can you imagine paying $10 to $13 million for Pittsburgh to pay a safety? Because that's what the price is going to be. I mean, the lowest end is going to be, if there's questions about two broken legs in 3 years, then it's a one-year deal at $9 million with maybe an option year getting it up to $13 million. But one thing is that you know, if you think Le'Veon Bell was a little bit adamant about his contract, trust me, Earl Thomas is almost the same. He ended up signing a four-year, $40 million deal 4 years ago. And when he signed it, he was mad because he wanted to be the highest-paid defensive player. And that burned within him for 4 years. That I don't think you needed as great of a player as. I think he's going to go to San Francisco.
Mm. John, I got one quick one for you as well. If you were drafting for the Steelers next year, kind of regardless of what is out there on the board or eligible, what one position on the football field would you draft to try to make the most instant impact?
I hate to bring that cornerback again, but, you know, with Joe Hayden getting a little bit older and, you know, I think that the cornerback, because again, the one thing is in this draft, and I know that, you know, particularly if they can get that second number one pick, you know, you can, then you have the luxury of taking a wide receiver, but I still think that, you know, where the thought's going to be inside linebacker, you know, and I still think they're solid enough on the defensive line. You know, you kind of lean toward cornerback.
Okay.
Is that where you would go?
They can't draft them to save their lives, but sure, that's the biggest need, John.
I'd go inside linebacker myself, but yeah, I the only reason I don't like hearing the word cornerback come out there is what Pony said. They can't draft them.
John, mm-hmm, are you doing gumbo or barbecue this weekend?
I'm actually doing salmon, I guess. No, I can't have salmon because I'm a meat and potato guy from Pittsburgh, so I'm not going to have salmon this weekend. I elected to take the wimp way out. Because when I saw that the Arctic blast was coming in Kansas City, I still remember, you know, because I stay at the Kansas City Airport Marriott, and I just didn't want to spend 35 minutes scraping the car. And so I was taking a pass this weekend. The cost of going to New Orleans was too exorbitant. I had decent costs going to Kansas City, but you know, I've already seen Kansas City four times this year. So what I'll do is I'll catch up with them in the Super Bowl.
Ooh. Thank you, John Clayton. We'll talk to you next week. See you, man.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.